from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
here is the news first headline. Indonesia reaffirms support for Timor-Leste's accession to ASEAN. Australia continues to strengthen disaster partnership with Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi reaffirmed Indonesia's full support for Timor-Leste's accession process as a full member of ASEAN at the 35th ASEAN Coordinating Council meeting in Vientiane, Laos on Tuesday. In a written statement from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, quoted by Antara State News Agency, it was stated that Retno Marsudi believes, as one of the key steps in strengthening integration, Timor-Leste's role in ASEAN meetings and policies should be expanded. The council meeting was held to discuss the ASEAN institutional process, ahead of the 44th and 45th ASEAN summits, which will open on Wednesday. Retno Marsudi stated it is also necessary to establish a special support unit for Timor-Leste at the ASEAN Secretariat. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated Indonesia has been able to maintain the national economy from various fluctuations in the last 10 years. Sri Mulyani at the BNI Investor Daily Summit 2024 in Jakarta on Tuesday said, "One concrete example is Indonesia, which managed to accelerate fiscal consolidation after the COVID-19 pandemic, with the deficit being able to be reduced back to below 3% within 2 years." According to Sri Mulyani, Indonesia's economic growth is relatively maintained thanks to the government's focus on development programs as a foundation, especially infrastructure and human capital. Infrastructure development is one of the hallmarks of President Joko Widodo's administration, which is reflected in budget allocations that continue to increase. Next, we have Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs, Yakut Holil Kaumas, who said the arrival of the Grand Imam of the Nabawi Mosque, Sheikh Ahmad bin Ali Al-Huzaifi, further strengthens the fraternal relations between the two countries. When receiving the Grand Imam's visit in Jakarta on Tuesday, said it ensures the relationship between the two countries, kingdoms, and communities is going well. The Grand Imam of Nabawi Mosque is visiting Indonesia until Friday. The Grand Imam will meet with President Joko Widodo, a number of religious organizations, and conclude by leading Friday prayers at the Istiqlal Mosque. The Minister of Religious Affairs welcomed the visit of Sheikh Ahmad bin Ali Al-Huzaifi and was honored for being willing to visit Indonesia. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia's ambassador to Indonesia, Faisal Al-Amudi, said the Grand Imam's visit was a state visit because Sheikh Ahmad also brought a message from King Salman and the Crown Prince. The last national news comes from the Australian Embassy to Indonesia that stated it continues to strengthen partnerships in the field of disaster with Indonesia, including other things that have been built so far. Deputy Ambassador of Australia to Indonesia, Gita Kamat, in Banda Aceh on Tuesday night said, "This month is the month of disaster risk management in Indonesia, of disaster in Aceh. Australia and Indonesia have had a partnership in this field for a long time." The statement was made by Gita Kamat on the sidelines of a meeting with Australian alumni from Aceh while celebrating 75 years of Australia-Indonesia diplomatic relations in Banda Aceh. He said his visit to Aceh also wanted to see the Australia-Indonesia Development Cooperation Program, especially in the fields of disaster risk management and reduction, women's empowerment, governance, and justice. Now we move to the international news. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol and Singapore Prime Minister Lawrence Wong on Tuesday held high-level talks and agreed to strengthen cooperation in various sectors across supply chains, energy, and advanced biotechnology. Yonhap News Agency reported Yoon and Wong discussed enhancing the resilience of key sectors under a supply chain partnership agreement signed between the two countries on the sidelines of a summit during Yoon's three-day state visit to Singapore. It marks the first supply chain agreement between the two countries following a multilateral agreement signed by 14 members of the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, an economic initiative launched by the United States in May 2022. Moving on to the European Union foreign policy chief Josep Borrell on Tuesday stressed the urgent need for a ceasefire in Lebanon, highlighting that 20% of the population has been displaced due to increased bombings in Lebanon and the escalation of the conflict in the region. Quoted by Anadolu, Borrell, while speaking at the European Parliament, underlined the terrible situation on the Gaza border and its impact on Lebanon, where Hezbollah rocket attacks and Israel's military response have heightened tensions. Borrell revealed that around 50,000 Lebanese have fled to Syria, and the estimated death toll has reached 2,000. He also pointed to Hezbollah's dual role in Lebanon as a political entity and military force, which complicates efforts to stabilize the country. We end the news with the Gaza Health Ministry that said Israeli army ordered the evacuation of patients and staff at three hospitals in the northern Gaza Strip. Through a statement on Tuesday, the ministry said Israel demanded the evacuation of Kamal Adwan Hospital, Indonesian Hospital, and Al Auda Hospital of patients and health workers. Israeli forces reportedly arrested a paramedic accompanying a critical patient during the transfer from Kamal Adwan Hospital despite prior coordination. Soldiers also surrounded Kamal Adwan Hospital and shelled its administrative headquarters. The ministry added, soldiers also threatened the hospital with destruction, murder, and arrested if it didn't evacuate, similar to what happened at Shifa Hospital in Gaza City. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, today's commentary highlights Indonesian governance transitions go smoothly, maintaining optimism. Prabowo Subianto and Gibran Rakabuming Raka are scheduled to be sworn in as President and Vice President of Indonesia for 2024-2029 on October 20, 2024. After the inauguration, Prabowo Subianto will shortly announce his cabinet members who will assist him in running the government. President Joko Widodo said that the current governance transition is going well while delivering his remarks at the opening of the BNI Investor Daily Summit 2024 at the Jakarta Convention Center, JCC in Senayan, Jakarta on October 8, 2024. President Joko Widodo stressed that a smooth and well-executed governance transition is crucial for maintaining optimism as well as ensuring political and economic stability. On the occasion, President Joko Widodo mentioned Prabowo Subianto's presence in closed meeting with the onward Indonesia cabinet members. This indicates that the plans for flagship programs to be implemented by Prabowo are being well prepared by the current ministers. The president-elect Prabowo Subianto has already demonstrated a smooth leadership transitions. This can be seen in his visits to several countries, including China, Japan, Turkey, and Malaysia, where he met with heads of states and governments. In a recent event at the Nahdlatul Ulama Supreme Board headquarters in Jakarta, Prabowo Subianto acknowledged that President Joko Widodo has been helping him prepare for the upcoming government transition on October 20. A well-prepared transition will allow the new cabinet to start working immediately to realize all the planned initiatives. This means that not all plants need to start from scratch. What is good should be maintained, and what is lacking should be improved. The optimism surrounding the smooth national leadership transition also reflects the belief that Indonesia will continue to improve and advance toward its golden Indonesia Vision 2045. That was commentary.
We begin today in history with an event from October 9, 1945, when British and Dutch Allied forces landed in Indonesian province Medan to take control from Japan. On October 9, 1945, British and Dutch Allied forces landed in Medan, North Sumatra, Indonesia, to take over governance from Japan after Japan's defeat in the Second World War. The People's Security Army resisted by attacking government buildings in an effort to seize power from the Japanese. The ultimatum issued by the British for Indonesians to surrender their weapons was ignored, leading to increased tensions and battles in Medan. A large-scale battle occurred on December 10, 1945, resulting in numerous casualties on both sides, and the Allies eventually occupied Medan in April 1946. Moving on to October 9, 1962, about Uganda's independence. The Republic of Uganda is a country in East Africa In the 19th century, Uganda was controlled by both Britain and Egypt. At that time, Uganda was one of Egypt's provinces called Equatoria. Egypt's control over Equatoria ended under the leadership of Emin Pasha in 1889, after which it passed into British hands in 1890. The struggle for independence from Britain began between 1945 to 1949 during a period of unrest among the poor. Finally, on October 9, 1962, Uganda gained its independence from Britain. We end today in history with October 9, 1969, about the first commemoration of World Post Day. World Post Day is commemorated annually on October 9, marking the anniversary of the founding of the Universal Postal Union in 1874 in Bern, Switzerland. This commemoration was declared by the Universal Postal Union Congress in Tokyo in 1969. The aim of the day is to raise awareness of the role of the postal service in people's daily lives and businesses, as well as its contribution to global social and economic development. The Universal Postal Union member countries celebrate the event by introducing or promoting new postal products and services and organizing open days at post offices, mail centers, and postal museums. That was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Di sini yang ber berikan damai di hati.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia Explores Markets and Regional Partnerships through INASCA 2024. The Indonesia South and Central Asia, or INASCA 2024, was the right moment for Indonesia to increase engagement with South and Central Asia. This was stated by the Director General of Asia-Pacific and Africa at the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Abdul Qadir Jailani, in Jakarta on Monday. According to Jailani, the forum where business people, companies, and institutions representatives in Indonesia and the South and Central Asia gather is a place to explore great opportunities between Indonesia and these regions. Because it has more than 2 billion people and a projected gross domestic product growth of 6% in South Asia and 5.4% in Central Asia. Jailani also said INASCA 2024, with the theme Unlocking Potential and Fostering Economic Partnership, is in the form of strategic discussions, business matching sessions, and exhibitions to explore partnerships. He explained there were 4 panels held in the forum. The main panel discussed strategic prospects and opportunities for cooperation, covering macroeconomic trends and potential partnerships in the South and Central Asia region. The first thematic panel focused on energy security and infrastructure and explored sustainable energy collaboration. The second one discussed food security and health, focusing on innovative strategies, while the third thematic panel covered terrorism, tourism, and financial technology. Jailani further said in the forum there were 6 memorandums of understanding that have been agreed to facilitate business partnerships between companies from Indonesia and the South and Central Asia region. From this activity, some $8.5 billion transactions were made. The MOUs included the ones between Indonesian companies and Sri Lankan companies, namely PT Kimia Farma and Yaden International, Pandawa Agri Indonesia and Onimto Private Limited, PT Natural Indo Coconut Organic, and Industrial Stainless Steel Fabrication Private Limited. In addition, a memorandum of understanding was also signed between the Uzbekistan's Ministry of Investment and Trade and PT Strilin Halal International, PT Export Global Network, and the Indonesia Eurasia International Council. Abdul Qadir Jailani said, INASCA Business Forum, pioneered by the Foreign Affairs Ministry, has produced concrete and significant results in diversifying the market for Indonesia's leading export products in the South and Central Asian markets. It is hoped that INASCA will not only be a forum for promoting the Indonesian economy, but also a two-way strategic platform that supports the development of economic cooperation in the South and Central Asian regions in a sustainable manner. That was today's My Indonesia.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to tourism village in West Java. One of the most famous tourism villages in Mekar Buana Tourism Village in Karawang. This village has beautiful and calming natural scenery. Surrounded by lush green rice fields, fragrant coffee plantations, and dense durian orchards, it thrives due to its location at the foot of Mount Sangga Buana. Being in the mountains, the village provides a comfortable atmosphere and cool air. Mekar Buana Village, located in the southernmost part of Tegalwaru District, Karawang Regency, is a green oasis offering stunning natural beauty amid Karawang's industrial reputation. Mekar Buana Village has a uniqueness not found in many other places in Karawang Regency. In this village, visitors can enjoy a contrasting experience of lush green natural beauty against the backdrop of a district known as an industrial area. The village's coffee and durian plantations offer not only beautiful scenery, but also an opportunity for travelers to learn about the planting and harvesting of these two popular commodities in Karawang. Listener, when visiting Mekar Buana Tourism Village, located about 42 kilometers village, located in the city center of Karawang, be sure to explore the coffee and durian plantations, which are one of the village's main attractions. Don't miss the chance to enjoy fresh durian, picked straight from the tree during the harvest season from September to March. In addition to natural and agro-tourism, culinary and cultural attractions are also abundant in this village. The top natural spots include Cigentis Waterfall, Bandung Waterfall, and the scenic Cigentis River in the rocky terrain of Mekar Buana Village. Moreover, there is culinary tourism, such as Wakil Anim Cafe, offering authentic Sundanese cuisine. Well, listener, that's today's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan dengarkan orang bicara, jangan ikuti orang mengarah. Mereka cuma sirik sama kita. Percuma omongan sumbang yang gak jelas. Acuhkan suara pengadu domba mereka. Selalu sirik dengan cinta. Oh cinta kita.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, wherever you are, we meet again in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you to Indonesian's vocabulary and guides you to use it properly. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and Language Development and Fostering Agency, Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Our topic today is
Dibima, Dibima,
which means in Bima. You will hear a monologue titled
Memukulkan Tongkat Kayu, Memukulkan Tongkat Kayu,
which means hitting wooden stick. This monologue is performed by Chris, a vlogger from Australia, while recording the Kareku Kande or Pounding Rice Seeds competitions at the Rimpu Mantika Festival, Bima City, West Nusa Tenggara Province. Chris describes the rhythm created from the sound of the tools used. Let's listen to the monologue.
Saat ini, saya sedang menonton lomba Kareku Kande atau lomba menembuk pada lesung dalam sebuah festival budaya. Dari sini terdengar suara peralatan yang berirama. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
After listening to the monologue, we will introduce you some vocabulary related to today's topic.
Memukulkan tongkat kayu. Memukulkan tongkat kayu.
Meaning, hitting wooden stick. We will pronounce them slowly. You can repeat them after us.
Peserta. Peserta.
Which means participant.
Memukulkan. Memukulkan.
Which means to hit with.
Tongkat kayu. Tongkat kayu.
Which means wooden stick.
Lesung. Lesung.
Which means mortar.
Wadah kayu. Wadah kayu.
Which means wooden container.
Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
Which means the participants hit the wooden stick against the mortar or wooden container.
Menonton. Menonton.
Which means to watch.
Lomba. Lomba.
Which means competitions. In the monologue, you hear the phrase,
para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
Which means the participants hit the wooden stick against the mortar or wooden container. In this phrase, there is the expression
memukulkan tongkat kayu. Memukulkan tongkat kayu,
which means hitting with a wooden stick, which means making the wooden stick a tool for hitting. In the context of the sentence, Chris describes the participants of the competition who are hitting the wooden stick against the wooden container. Now, another example. Let's listen to an example of using affixed words that means using something as a tool in other sentences.
Mengikatkan, mengikatkan,
which means to tie with.
Nelayan mengikatkan tali besar di ujung kapalnya. Nelayan mengikatkan tali besar di ujung kapalnya.
Which means the fisherman ties a big rope to the end of his boat.
Membalutkan, membalutkan,
which means to wrap with.
Saya membalutkan perban di kakinya. Saya membalutkan perban di kakinya.
Which means I wrap the bandage on his leg. Kareku Kandei, or pounding rice seeds, is a unique tradition of the people of Bima City, West Nusa Tenggara province, that has been around since ancient time. This activity is usually performed by women. The activity of pounding rice creates a rhythmic sound. Kareku Kandei was registered by the Indonesian government as an intangible cultural heritage of Indonesia in 2017. Before we end today's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more clarity, let's listen to the monologue one more time.
Saat ini, saya sedang menonton lomba Kareku Kandei, atau lomba menembuk pada lesung dalam sebuah festival budaya. Dari sini terdengar suara peralatan yang berirama. Para peserta memukulkan tongkat kayu ke lesung atau wadah kayu.
Well, listeners, that was this episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversation titled
Memukulkan Tongkat Kayu. Memukulkan tongkat kayu,
which means hitting wooden stick. We hope this edition is helpful for those of you who want to learn more about Bahasa Indonesia. We will meet again with different topic. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Thank you for your attention and see you next time.
Sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
menutup mata, lepaskanlah tubuh ini, terbebas derita. Semua jadi hitam dan tak terpandang lagi. Cahaya yang kita pernah dambakan lalui dan berharap keabadian datang. Di tanganku kau genggam permata yang hilang, lalui dan berharap keabadian datang.
Listener, today's edition of Music Corner presents a traditional song called Gado Gado Semarang, composed by Kelly Puspita. The song lyrics mention that the name Semarang in the province of Central Java, Indonesia, comes from the word asam arang, which means rare acid. Semarang is a coastal city, so many foreigners drop by the city. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Gado Gado Semarang by Retno Indah. Happy listening!
Semarang,
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.